Okay, well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we are so dependent on you, God, on your Spirit to come and just give us your word, Lord. We pray for your words, Lord, that they would go, God, it would be full of your Spirit. And I just pray, Lord, that you would prepare the hearts here, Lord, that in faith, Lord, I pray that you would plant these seeds, God, in good soil. And I pray your Spirit, Lord, would block out right now from this sanctuary, Lord, any lies of the enemy floating, God, any hopelessness that comes from lies. I just pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would, Lord, protect this place. Lord, that your Spirit would come and just sow these words in our hearts, God. Just write them, Lord. Write them into our hearts. Oh, that we would fall in love with you, God. Oh, that we would love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, I asked Robert if we can extend one more sermon. Just thought that it was just a little bit more than I thought as we began the series on what God wants to say to us and just what wisdom is, I think. Wisdom. I think I share with somebody, wisdom is like a vector for those who are into math and physics. A vector is a direction. It's a symbol. You know, it has this an arrow and, you know. But it also represents a force, you know, something substantial, you know, that goes in that direction, you know. And wisdom is like that. It has a certain kind of power. It has a direction, and it's all pointing to Jesus. You know, that's what wisdom is. We don't need wisdom to be just wise for wise sake. We need wisdom to delight in God, to love God. We need wisdom because there are so many things in this world competing for our affections, aren't there? You know? Yeah. Just so many things. We live in uncertain times. And I know many of you are going through some of those challenges of uncertainty, you know. I know that, you know, we're going through a season, you know, where we're concerned about even our livelihood and the livelihood of our children. As these external pressures, you know, bear upon us, waves of these uncertainties come, you know. The thing that God is most concerned about is not that somehow he's going to lose control. God is never going to lose control. What he's most concerned about with us is that we walk through this to become better human beings, better lovers of God, and that these, for a believer, are just some of the most exciting times. And I hope that you can see that when we look at life, the way that transformation occurs, people change, not in this gradual line. Scripture says we transform from one degree of glory to another. So your testimony is, you know, I remember a time when God taught me about forgiveness. I remember a time when God taught me about envy and how to walk through it. I remember a time when I was really struggling with addiction. And I remember a time when, you know, when I just didn't have any friends. I remember a time when I was really lonely. And I hope you can see that those are not bad and evil times. There's something called PTG. I know probably never heard of it, but we've all heard of PTSD, right? Post-traumatic, right? Stress disorder. Well, when you have, you know, stress, trauma, all these things that are happening to us, right? Most of us encounter, people that go through it, most people encounter PTSD. People who have served in the Army, they at least, you know, when they look at about 29%, almost a third of people develop some sort of PTSD coming out of war. We're talking about people that are, you know, not just in the front lines, people that are serving even like in Kuwait, you know, where there is no war, really. But people develop a lot of PTSD, you know? It doesn't take a lot when you go through trauma. And I would venture to say that many of you sitting here have probably remnants of PTSD because you encounter some stress, even in your own homes, in your own homes. But what God is saying is that that we could have PTG. There's something called post-traumatic growth. And it happens to people. It's actually being studied. But there are people, because of the trauma, actually grow. You know, and they're not broken up by it. People grow through it. And which is interesting about Scripture, that's really all really, I mean, that's like the focus of Scripture. It's like, don't be afraid. Suffering is going to come, you know? And the thing about it is, unless we have wisdom, we're going to try to avoid stress. We're going to try to avoid trauma. We're going to try to avoid all the very good things necessary for our growth. Now, so you're probably thinking, wow, the Christian faith is really hard. And I would say, I think it is. I think it is very difficult, you know? But I tell you what, the other end of that obstacle, the other end of that suffering is Jesus, just with open arms, saying, come. Come all who are weary and heavy laden, right? And I will give you rest. Isn't that amazing? It's you know, God is not someone who's just letting us go through stuff. God has a purpose. He has a plan, right? And he wants to impart wisdom as you go through it. So we want to take a look at James, you know, the half-brother of Jesus, because he is, you know, wise about wisdom, you know, because he had to, wisdom is something that you begin to understand as you begin to not just know it. Wisdom is not about, you can't read a book about wisdom. Unfortunately, wisdom is something that you have to learn through experience. So when you meet a wise person, it's not because he's the most read person. It's because he went through some stuff and they can share with you, okay? And many of you have wisdom because I've spoken to you, you know? And I love listening to wisdom. I love listening to, because you know what wisdom is? It's not us. It's a testimony of God. When you meet a wise person, they don't talk about them. They talk about God and how God met them. So let's look at James 1, 2 through 8. It says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I'm just going to talk about three things here from this passage. I want to talk about praise and thanksgiving. It says, and because in order to have post-traumatic growth, one of the elements of that is that it has to have purpose and meaning. So people who don't believe that what they're facing has purpose and meaning end up getting a disorder instead of growth. So God is now giving us purpose and meaning, right? And also, you can see, count it all joy. Why? Because when you come through that, is what? Is Christ. It's the joy. It's like you can almost see like a toddler, you know, getting up and or walking, you know? All of heaven, right, is lined up. As we go through this, you know, you can do it. You can do it. Because it's meaningful. But we have to pray. We have to pray for insight and strength, because if you read Psalm 23, when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, sometimes you lose your way. You do. It's because it becomes dark, you know, and there's so many lies, so many things that are happening. And so to navigate in that darkness, you need a light. You need a light. And so we pray, and you need a strength to go on. And then there's the stepping out in faith. Scripture talks about, hey, you have to have faith. You know, you can't doubt. Because what happens is, sometimes, you know what? When we go through trials, we just think, you know, it is what it is. We just kind of like, just throw up our hands. You know, in the army, we call that the seven corps salute. Just give up, you know? Just give up. But it's kind of, so let's look at those, all right? Let's look at the first point. The praise and thanksgiving. It says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. You know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be what? Perfect. That word, right, it really means mature. Mature. So maturity, when you meet people who are spiritually mature, oh, I love to hear their stories. You know why? Because they went through some stuff. They went through some stuff. You don't meet mature people who have a PhD. You don't just go to school to get maturity. Right? Maturity is a product of trials. Right? Is a product of trials. And they seemingly are impossible. We want to run away from trials, don't we? I know I do. I know I do. But it says, so we have to believe that every trial you're in, and here's one thing, folks. Being in church, well, it's not easy, is it? It's not easy. It's not easy to have relationships. It's not easy to be close either. And especially, it's not easy to be close and to be devoted to difficult people. It's not easy. And I know some of you are saying, yeah, you're not that easy yourself, you know? Which is true, actually. You know, I'm just discovering that too, right? Even with my family. But that's the wisdom. You know, it's the honesty to say, you know what? It's really hard. It's really hard. But you know what? But if you don't run away and you say, you know what? I'm gonna walk through this. Jesus will be on the other end with the applause of heaven rooting you on, with the Spirit ready to deploy to help you out. Oh, count it all joy. That's us predicting future grace. Future grace, right? And that's why you have to identify when you have difficulty in relationships, when you have difficulty, because a trial is external. In the sense, temptation is more internal. The Greek is actually the same. It depends on the context, right? So later on, we're going to read about temptation, right? When we face trials, right? Same word, but here what I'm saying is like perfect and complete. God is all about us. We're going to reign with Christ one day. The children of God are going to reign with him. There are things here that we need to learn. There are qualities that we need to develop. And they all come through trial. I wish there was another recipe. I wish I could avoid trial. I mean, I just had this conversation with Steve. You know, we were just driving. You know, came back from a Phil Wickham concert. We were just talking about this, right? Like tribulation, you know, is there a rapture, you know? So, you know, I don't know. You know, I can't say, you know, I think we're gonna go through that tribulation. That's my view, right? We're gonna talk about that as we talk about, you know, the end times a bit more. But, you know, it's like, why would we want to avoid tribulation? I know in my flesh, of course I want to avoid tribulation. If you ask me, you know, of course you don't want to raise your children in tribulation. Nobody wants to go through loneliness. Nobody wants to go through shame and, you know. But, you know, God has a different view. And here's the thing. Jesus is not a stranger to trials. Matter of fact, Scripture says he sympathizes. He empathizes with our struggles. We do not have a high priest who does not sympathize with us. It is hard. You know what was really hard? Although being in the form of God, He emptied himself. Jesus humbled himself and became nothing. Nothing. Right? To be obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, that's hard. That's really hard. You know why? Because he loves us. So we get to that point, don't we? Because he loves us. Love, I don't, it's just, this is God's love. God's love always requires humility. That's why when we talked about wisdom and humility, it's just absolutely essential. You cannot love somebody without humility. I'm beginning to realize that. It's impossible. And here's the way that God does it, to the extreme level of humility. The utter being, the utter drop is unfathomable. But the amount of that humility is the amount of that love. It says, and Peter, who is no stranger to suffering, he wrote 1 Peter, the book of suffering. The man who was crucified upside down says this, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result. There's a result here in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? When you go through it, who's on the other end? Peter's saying, there is a new discovery, a new profoundness, new added dimension to your relationship with Jesus Christ. You get to draw closer to Jesus Christ because of that genuineness, right? Because you know what? I never thought that I needed to get really that humble. I've been praying for it though, right? God, just humble me. Like, teach me. Just like, teach me about this. And I'm finding is like at the other end of some of these most painful lessons is actually Jesus Christ. The revelation. I love that. Jesus is waiting for you at the other end. Later on, he says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. Some of the worst kinds of suffering is actually the kind of suffering that makes you feel really low. You know, where you're, you know, maybe targeted. You're just made to, you know, unjustly accused. Maybe canceled to some extent. Maybe not thought well of at work. You know, or maybe people know that you're a Christian now, so they don't think highly of you anymore. Or, you know, it's just sometimes the hardest part about trials is actually the shame of it. The shame of the trial. But it says what? But let him glorify God in that name. There's no time that we are closer to Christ than in our humility. Like identifying in our humility when we're brought low, we're never closer to Christ than in that moment. And that's what Peter is saying. He's saying, who am I to avoid humility? Who am I to avoid shame? Shame is the opposite of honor, which is exaltation, right? Shame is the opposite. It's being brought low. And Peter is saying, hey, look, you're in good company. You're in good company. But it's a kind of company, right, that is very, very meaningful. And I know you think it just, it's like, doesn't have any purpose. If you name Christ as your Lord and Savior, every suffering has meaning and purpose. Every suffering. Why do we need to pray for insight and strength? Because when you're in the crucible, the only thing you can think about is getting out of the crucible. Isn't that true? Absolutely. You know, I used to tell a story to my children. It's, you know, it was I used to call it the sponge man, you know, the sponge people story. Essentially, you know, the sponge people, you know, there were these, the enemies of the sponge people, you know, we call them the squeezers, you know, and they would go around and, you know, and just squeeze the sponges. And, you know, and these enemies. But what it turns out, right, the king that deployed the squeezers, you know, the sponge people just didn't know what was coming out of them. They only cared that they were squeezed, you know. But when they were squeezed, all manners of bad stuff were coming out. You ever squeeze a sponge, right? Sometimes you never know, you know, like all the filth that comes out of a sponge until you squeeze it, right? Yeah, that's like a crucible. And we need prayer, right, to be able to withstand that, to stay in it, to be faithful in it, right? Because not only do you discover something about God in that moment, but you really discover something about yourself, don't you? We do that, don't we? You know? It's like there's some profound things. Oh, maybe I'm just not that kind. You know? I can be vindictive. These are some profound things. You know, I really am bitter, and I can't get over it. That's why James 1 and 2 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. You know, it's just talking about trials, and it's like, you know, I know it's hard, you know, but if you lack wisdom, notice it says, why is he focused on wisdom? Because wisdom is what gets you through the trials. That's the wisdom. Wisdom is that vector that gets you through the trial and onto Jesus. That's wisdom. Right? Because what they were doing is they were trying to escape trial. But you keep escaping trial, and you find that there's, on the other end, not Jesus. You know, the intimacy of Jesus, the revelation of Jesus. Man, if you want to be faithful in your trial, right? What does it say? God, he gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. You know, I've never in my entire life, and I'll tell you what, I am a sinner of sinners. I got some stories, you know? But you know what? What's amazing, I've never in my entire life ever felt condemned by God. Never. You know, sometimes when I'm praising God, it's like, you know, it's like, you shouldn't have to love me like that. And I'm so, you know, it's like undeserving. You know, and it's like when you get close to God and you just, it's just nonstop mercy. It's like, just, he just always takes you back. It's like, and he's going to just keep doing it, you know? And you know, and you just love him. Because, you know, that's just how much he loves you. And if you want to go through it, and you just really, and the thing is, he's constantly knocking. You know, it's like, hey, let me do this with you. Let me give you wisdom. Let me give you strength. Let me be with you through this. And you'd think that he wouldn't be so generous, but he is, isn't he? There's something else, though, that happens when we go through trials. Trials, what happens is when we go through a trial, okay, that's when the attack happens. That means all the forces are arrayed, both internally from the sinful nature and the enemy. They're all arrayed, okay? They are fortified positions around trials. If you have a conflict, okay? Oh, it's fortified. If you're lonely, oh yeah. If you feel isolated, depressed, these are things, okay? Here's what scripture says, okay? Later in James, it says, and it's tying trials to temptations. It says, let no one say when he is tempted. Because what happens in trial is it said you will be tempted. It says, I am being tempted by God. God is doing this to me. Don't we blame God sometimes when we're having difficulty? Where are you, God? It says, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. So, oh, we need a reason, though, don't we? When we're going through trials, okay, when we're having difficulties, temptation is right there. You know, I was sharing, you know, I think many of you, I didn't realize how many times I told the television story, throwing out the telly until Daniel, we had growth group, right? My brother Daniel. I was like, wow, I told that story so many times. Thank you for bearing with me. Sometimes you need to hear that. But maybe what I haven't shared is, you know, throwing up my TV, it makes you sound like it's just some, you know, radical, heroic act. But TV was a very close friend of mine, actually. You know, I don't want to get choked up. Actually, I ended up getting choked up and I started sobbing in front of him, you know, as I was talking about TV, of all things. They didn't have internet. I didn't have toys, you know. TV was all I had. And I was a latchkey kid, you know. And when I came home, you know, I mean, you know, it was just like a very dangerous neighborhood where I, you know, lived. And there was a time when I couldn't even go outside because, you know, it was just always a fight. Everybody wanted to, you know, beat me up because I got in a fight with another boy, and it was just like the whole neighborhood just was an alert if I came out. I was 8 years old, okay? I was 8 years old. And, but I had TV, you know? So, you know, Simba, the Lion King, you know, Marine Boy, you know, Giant Robot, you know, the Justice League, these were all my friends. That's all I had. And I grew up like that, you know? And I mean, to the point I was like watching soap operas with my sister. I know everything about Luke and Laura in the General Hospital, you know? You know, as the world turns, my goodness. I mean, it was a very dear friend. But just like all dear friends that hinder you from God, you know, it is the inevitable breakup. And it's really hard. You know, it's hard because if you look at the next slide, these are our friends, to be honest. Matter of fact, when Jesus talks about in the parable of the sower, in the Mark version, if you read that, the thorns, it says, the cares of this world, the riches of life, this is, and any other good thing, any other good thing. They don't have to be bad things. There's nothing wrong with a little wine. There's nothing wrong with a little TV. There's nothing wrong with food. There's nothing wrong with work and buying things. And, well, there's a lot of things wrong with gambling and pornography. But the point is, you know, we all have our friends that we go to, you know, rather than God, don't we? Don't we? And we can't even imagine what life would be like without these friends, these very dear friends. That's what they are to us. They're such dear friends. You know, I couldn't believe how much I was crying talking about TV, you know? But that's what it is, you know? That's what it meant to me, you know? And I know that many of us, you know, are going to have to come to that point in our lives where we're just like, you know what? But, you know, I just... You know that sometimes when you're just in a bad relationship, dating somebody that you ought not to be dating, you know you have to break up and you just dated a little too long. That's just what it is. But you know it's got to happen. You know that it is required. Because you know why? At the other end of that trial, because sometimes trials are so painful. We developed them when we were young. We were children. We didn't know how to suffer. Without these friends, you know, life would have been really hard, to be honest. But you know what? The thing is we have to mature now, right? Because trials, you know, we have to walk through them now, you know? We have to give up, you know, because this is about new wine and new wineskin. And it's time for us to move on. And that's why we have to pray. That's why we have to pray. It says Proverbs 8:12, it says, I, wisdom, right? It's wisdom personified. Dwell with prudence, finding knowledge and discretion. You know, we're looking now very practically. That's why it's prudent. Very practically Because wisdom is practical. Knowledge alone won't do it. Knowledge is necessary. It says the fear of the Lord means hating evil. So now we have to actually move on, right? Now, remember, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. But it's defining that as rejecting evil, hating evil, rejecting pride. That means, man, you reject pride, man, that is now a cliff of humility, which is absolutely necessary. Arrogance, wickedness, and corrupt speech. And here it says, with me are counsel and sound wisdom. It says, I offer insight and strength. Remember I talked about the vector, right? That's what wisdom is. It's the vector. It's both the insight. How do I get through this porn addiction? How do I get through this, you know, escapism? How do I do this? But also, God, I need strength. I need help. I need help. And you know what? What did Scripture say? What did James say? I am glad you asked. Right? He does it without reproach. He generously provides. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. We sometimes think that overcoming temptation is about willpower. It isn't. It isn't about willpower. And I don't want you to feel ashamed that you, as a Christian, you don't have more willpower than the next person. You know what that is? It's about humility. It really is. It's about asking. It's about confessing. It's about being transparent. Thing about it is, if we don't want that, if we want to hold on to it, be private, then we not avail ourselves to humility. So therefore, God gives grace to who? Not the proud, but the humble. Yeah. It says, but he works in us both to what? Will. It's God who gives us the will. It's God who us, right, to work for his good pleasure. That's why we pray. Then the stepping out in faith, the third point. Not doubting, and there's something about now, right? It's coming through it. We now have the first point. We have identified the trial. We're naming it now, right? We know that it's meaningful. We're in that place now. Jesus is at the other end. When I go through it, he's waiting for me. The Holy Spirit is going to help me. That's what the prayer is. It's the battle in the crucible so that I don't escape, avoid, but I'm going to go through it. That's the prayer now. Stepping out in faith, but I got to move towards it now, don't I? That's where the vector is, right? James 1 says, let him ask in faith with no doubting. That means I am going to take that step. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. There's something about, okay, I think many, I've told you this story. The first time I heard of it, I didn't even think much of it. But it was about Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom wrote a book. You know, she was a prisoner of war. She was a Christian, but she was with the Jews, okay, in the concentration camp with the Nazis. Her sister, her very dear sister, died in that concentration camp. And, you know, after she was released from concentration camp, she was speaking and sharing her faith. And after the talk, a former prisoner guard came up to her and said, hey, will you forgive me? You know? And she recognized him. And he was asking her for forgiveness. And everything in her body, nothing wanted to forgive her. Nothing for the atrocities of that concentration camp. It was all she could do to raise her arm. That's all she could do. And as she leaned forward to shake his hand, that's when the grace hit. That's when the grace hit. And God gave her both the grace and the freedom to be able to love that prisoner guard who was at the heart of killing her dear sister. And I tell you what, the best, you know, the most grace-filled moments of my life were not steps that I wanted to take, but steps that I needed to take. Sometimes that's when God meets you. You know? That's how Peter was able to walk on water. And then he what? Lost his footing, didn't he? Because he doubted. But, you know, but we have to take that step. And the strength will meet us as we lift our arms, as we take that step, as we call that friend, as we apologize, as that's when it comes. We don't wait for it to come and then we step out. Because very often it never comes. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed. Did Abraham feel like killing his son? Of course not, right? But by faith, he realized God's going to provide. When he was called to go out to a place, he was to receive his inheritance. You know, this is actually talking about, you know, leaving Ur, right, to go to the promised land. You know, leaving everything he knew to go to an unknown place, you know? So we'll close with this, Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Oh, I love that. No matter what God is calling us to do, no matter how big the obstacles, you know, here's the good news. God is bigger. God is bigger. And he is with us. And he will never forsake us. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh God, we need wisdom, God. First, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, God, for just all the meaning and purpose in our lives. God, we want to count it all joy. Lord, there's just some people in this room who's just going through some difficult times right now, God. And you know what they are. God, you know who they are. I just pray for encouragement, Lord. I just pray for love, Lord. Just a faith, God, to come upon them, to let them know that you're at the other end of that, God, with an invitation to come. Come and those who are weary and heavy laden. I pray that you would meet them, God. I pray for the Holy Spirit and courage, God, to help them walk through, God, this fire, this trial. I also pray for those who are trapped, God, in temptation. God, I know that it's so hard. I just pray for grace, Lord. I pray for grace, God, that their hunger for you and their desire for you, God, will be greater than their desire, God, for those temptations, Lord. So, God, help us. Humble us, God. Humble us. We choose you, God. We choose you. God, thank you for loving us so much. In Jesus' name, amen.